Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
If your best friend told you, "I'm asking for a raise," you would probably say, "That's right, go get it, you deserve it." Why do so many people feel so differently when it comes to nurses? Jason DeRusha, welcome to Drive Time. Glad to have you with us. Today, the news came out that nurses in the Twin Cities and around the state, 16 hospitals, part of this decision to go on strike. As many as 15,000 nurses will go on strike starting on December 11th, unless they come up with a deal. Your texts indicate some anger at the nurses. I want to explore that. I want to understand why it is that people are frustrated or judgmental. Well, you tell me how you feel about it. 651-461-9226. Cities One Plumbing Talk and Text Line. 651-461-9226. The reactions are sometimes understandable, right? We're all concerned when it comes to 15,000 nurses on strike that if we're sick, or our parents are sick, or our kids are sick, that maybe they wouldn't get the care that they should get. Maybe there's a longer wait in the ER. The hospitals say that they're preparing, but there's not a lot of time. This is the second strike now. We had a short strike a couple of months ago. It was a 3-day strike this fall. And so when the union yesterday called for a strike vote and 15,000 nurses came to vote, we sort of expected that the vote was going to be for a strike. I'm a member of a union here at CCO Radio. I've been in a union for 20 years. Before I came here to the Twin Cities, I'd never been in a union, didn't know anything about it. Here, I've been a part of negotiations. I've been part of discussion with coworkers. Do we care enough about X, Y, Z, whatever the issue is you're bringing to the table, to put our own livelihood at risk and consider going on strike? They're tough conversations. But in a normal circumstance, when people are fighting against whoever they're working for, sort of the stereotypical, you know, me against the man, we cheer for the worker. But there's something about, well, I'm asking you, what is it? Is it because it's a union and maybe you have feelings about unions? Is it because it's nurses and you're worried about the quality of care that would be available or the hospitals or whatever the case may be? Or do you think that it's fine and you support the nurses saying that they're going to strike? 651-461-9226. Text coming in. The CEOs are making millions. Give their nurses their raises and hire more nurses so that we can have good health care. That's one of the texts. I don't know. I mean, yes, the hospital CEOs, I don't know that they're making millions, but they are making, you know, hospital CEO pay. It's a $1 million job. Should it be? To me, that's, you know, and I actually push back when the nurses raise the issue of CEO pay. That doesn't move me at all. You're not going to cut. What are you going to pay the CEO? $500,000? Take that $500,000, give it to 2,000 nurses, so what? Like, that's not what anybody's asking for. So to me, like, you don't need to make it like, oh, it's because these people are getting rich. You have to look at the business. I mean, also, like, do you want someone who's making $200,000 as the CEO of a hospital? I don't know. I don't know. To me, no. I don't. 651-461-9226. Let's talk to Larry in Burnsville on the City's One Plumbing Talk and Text Line. Larry, what?
Yes, good morning. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Nice to have you on the show. What do you think about all this?
Well, I'll tell you. I'm a retired nurse, retired 3 years ago. I have a 4-year degree, registered nurse. And I want to tell you that most 4-year degree nurses make from $30 to $45 per hour. And no, they don't all work 80 hours or 40 hours a week.
Right.
But my last year as a nurse, I made $103,000. Now, I understand for maybe LPNs, which don't make as much, they don't have as much schooling, but they are still very, very capable of doing a lot of things that RN does.
Right.
I can understand that they probably could use more, but it's the unions that are forcing this upon them, and the unions are making millions and billions of dollars. And I think it's causing the cost of health care to go higher and higher all the time because of their greed.
Do you really think the pay of nurses or the unions are the driver of health care costs, or is it the insurance companies that are really making the huge money and not maybe reimbursing and paying at the rates that they should?
Well, I think it could be a combination. I used to be an insurance agent, too. And I know how that works.
Yeah.
But I do know that
we know how much, like, United Health is making. I mean, the profits they've made during the pandemic, it's in some ways it's a little disgusting to look at. I mean, no offense to the fine local people who work over there. They're a business. They're trying to make money, but it's a little gross, I think, you know.
But they're the ones that are providing the facilities, the equipment, the training for the best medical care. I worked at Mayo Clinic in Rochester.
Yeah.
Phenomenal place. Not perfect, but you know, your nurses are not unionized, and they all enjoy their work, and the union is archaic. It's a thing of the past. We don't need them. That's my story.
Yeah. Appreciate that insight. Thanks, Larry. Thanks for the call there. Sherry is in a car. Let's talk to you, Sherry, at 651-461-9226. Why do you think there's sort of a visceral reaction about nurses going on strike?
Well, and first I have to tell you, I'm a retired nurse of 44 years. So I started out when my pay salary was right around $6 an hour. And after 44 years, I did retire out at $50 an hour, and that was with the bonus from working evenings or nights. And this is hospital nursing, because you don't make that kind of money in a clinic. I've watched budgets on the floors I've worked at be cut because the hospital purchased something else, or a CEO got a new raise, or all of our equipment was subject to, are we going to have it or aren't we going to have it?
Hmm.
I've watched the entire mental health system be decimated. We actually had mental health systems when I was a student nurse and I first graduated in the 1960s. We had hospital beds. We had institutions. There were reasons why some of these people were in institutions, because they couldn't function outside of that. They couldn't function for themselves, and some of them, frankly, were dangerous.
Yeah.
But because mental health is not a quick fix, insurance companies didn't want to pay the bill.
Right.
So we saw all these mental health facilities in various hospitals shut down. I mean, I worked at Fairview Southdale. I worked at Mount Sinai. I worked at a hospital out here in the western suburbs.
So do you agree with our last caller who said the nurses are asking for too much?
Absolutely, I do not.
Yeah.
I've got some of my best friends are still employed, fortunately, you know, and this is the younger wave that I knew, because some of them are my daughter's age. You know, you work 12 to 16 hours. I learned how to eat my dinner walking up two flights of stairs, because otherwise there was no dinner on a 12-hour shift.
Yeah.
I watched us try to juggle. How are we going to take care of these patients? And the ER wants to send us more. And we have people on ventilators and we don't have staff. And you ask for staff and it's kind of like, well, that's your problem. Figure it out.
It's really the staffing. Well, I think the nurses have said they're asking for a raise. Yes. And they're, you know, it's been a negotiation. At first, they said 30% over 3 years. Which 30% sounds like a lot, but 10%, 10%, 10% to me is not an outrageous starting point. Now the nurses are asking for 20%. The hospitals are offering 14.5%. So it's not, they're not hugely far off on pay, but the staffing issue is
that has been a problem for so long.
Yeah.
That you have no idea how many nurses have burned out, have literally left profession because they can't do it anymore. I left the profession after 44 years. I have a back that's worthless. That was my decision. I loved my job. I stayed with it till 69 and a half and my first knee replacement, which is very typical for nurses too, by the way.
Yeah, it's true.
And I love my job. I love my patients. But there were times you'd sit there and just cry because you couldn't be everywhere at once, and there was no help. And then you're sitting there getting a call saying, well, we're going to be short on nights, guys. Does anybody want to work a double? There's only so many of those you could do and still have a life, health, or a family.
For sure, Sherry, thank you. I appreciate it. 319, Paul and Mary, hang on. Lots of texts coming in. We'll take more calls and texts as we continue. Talking nurses strike. 651-461-9226. More with Drive Time in a minute. Lots of calls, lots of texts on the nurses authorizing their second strike for St. Luke's. It's open-ended. For some of the other hospitals, it'll be a 20 days, December 11th through the 31st. St. Luke's is in Duluth and Two Harbors. 16 hospitals in the Twin Cities and Duluth areas affected by this. 15,000 nurses. Very big deal. Hospitals knew this vote was coming, but I think they may have been caught off guard by the fact that this is happening so quickly, that the nurses voted yesterday, the results revealed today, and now talking about a strike in just 10 days from today. Jason, I'm a union worker, says one texter. Yet I'm semi-anti-union, retired truck driver. They don't do much good except for wages and their own benefits. But everybody owes their wages to the union. We'd be paid dirt if they could get away with it. Another texter, often the only thing we hear about is the money. We don't hear about other issues such as nurse-patient ratios, unsafe work environment, people not getting the quality of care they're paying for because of lack of staff. A lot of texters saying the Nurses Association is a bunch of whiners. To me, you can disagree with, and they're mostly asking for 20% over 3 years. Is that really a crazy raise? Inflation right now is what, 7%? So a three-year raise, you're talking 7.6? Is that outrageous?
I mean, it's a matter of perspective, right? I mean, if you're sitting in a job where you're making 2-3%, getting 2-3% raises.
Ask for more?
Well, but I'm...
Why aren't people asking for more? I feel like people just accept the raises they get, and then they get mad that someone's asking for a raise.
I mean, I know personally of situations in which that was the negotiation, right? That was the best you could get. If the best you can get is 2 or 3... then you're looking at somebody that's asking for 10. I can see how people might get a little out of sorts, although you're 100% right. You know, everybody's allowed to ask for whatever they're
allowed
to
ask for. Ask for what you want.
There you go.
Why don't you cheer? Why aren't we cheering for the person trying to get a better lot? Are we all really cheering? And I'm not against the hospitals. They're not making money either. Fairview, for example, in the Star Tribune today, it said they had an operating deficit of $90 million. I mean, figuring out the economics of running a hospital is a challenge right now. Let's talk to Mary in a car. Mary, you have called Cities One Talking Text Line, 651-461-9226. What's your take on the nurses saying they're going to go on a 20-day strike coming up in about 10 days?
Hey, Jason. I'm a 42-year nurse. I recently retired in July, and I'm calling on behalf of my daughters that are nurses as well as my niece. Wage is one thing, but I think the bottom line that everyone should agree with is patient safety. These are your loved ones that the nurses are responsible for 24/7. And staffing ratios are not allowing for that.
Yeah.
This strike, my family took very seriously. It is hard for the nurses too, but when they feel that they cannot do what they love, safely take care of patients, they just felt like they had to take a stand. It's very tough and it's not easy. We always got more from our patients than we can ever give them, but my family just wants to make sure that they get the best care that they're paying for, the ratios are safe, and healthcare is safe. And I think that's where everyone wants. And the sides just got to really both come together and see how this can be met. Not so much percentage of wages, but what is the value for these group nurses, and how can we do this safely?
It's really the staffing thing that's hard, Mary, because the hospitals will say, look, we have open positions that we aren't even able to fill. So it's not that we don't want to hire more people. It's that we can't get people to take these jobs. Do you buy that? That's an issue every employer is faced with. So I'm empathetic towards the response of like, well, how are we supposed to meet these staffing, levels that the nurses are asking for?
Well, there's two sides for this. Every story, I can't speak on behalf of healthcare systems. I can honestly share, though, that when I left my healthcare system, and again, nurse for 42 years, I was shocked that I was not asked for an exit interview. Why I was, there is something that they could do that might make it possible for me to stay.
Interesting.
So,
yeah, really interesting. Disappointing, isn't it?
Yeah. Again, there's a lot to be solved, but again, nurses are there for the patients, number one. They have to be able to take care of them safely. Maybe it takes different people to figure it out, but that's really
surprised that there's so much public pushback against people trying to get more money. That's what surprises me, and trying to get better working conditions. Mary, thank you. We all take it personally because we're worried about our kids going to the, are we going to have enough nurses when we need the medical care. Lots of calls. We'll talk more about this going up. We got to move on because we got the new big cheese for the Minnesota Twins. Joe Polad going to do his first radio interview, and he's doing it right here on Drive Time with DeRusha next.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
News came out this week that there is a new big boss from an ownership perspective for the Minnesota Twins. Still a Polad. Joe Polad doing his first radio interview with us live here on CCO. Joe, nice to have you with us.
Nice to be here.
Congratulations.
Nice to be talking to you. Yes, thank you very much.
Look, are you at Target Field right now? Does it feel like baseball?
The weather just said it's 32 or 22 degrees here, and it looks like it, but yes, I am at the ballpark. I'm squeezed right between Dave St. Peter and Laura Day. So I plan on staying.
You're sticking around at that ballpark.
I'm sticking around.
Well, may have a little more job security over there than you did when you ran a couple of radio stations here in town.
I think you're right. But I loved my time over at the radio station, so I don't have anything bad to say.
Those were great stations, although I am a little concerned about the mindset of someone who is a radio executive also running our beloved baseball team. I've worked for enough goofs in broadcasting. It just has me a little nervous. That's all I'm saying.
You know what it is? It's just we got the outside-the-box thinking. So hopefully that's a good thing. And that's something that my uncle had, And I think that's something that a lot of the employees here have. So hopefully I can be additive to that culture.
Well, you really, with the team, have been involved with a lot of the innovative efforts, right? You were involved in the tech accelerator that's happened over there, which is super fascinating in the realm of a professional sports team. You led the rebranding that was just unveiled last week. Well, of the things you've done with the Twins, what is the most fun thing that you've done with the team so far?
Well, you're right. I was part of both of those things. And in fact, I was over at the Tech Accelerator this morning for about 6 hours, which is really something exciting that we're doing. But I'd say the most fun thing was the rebrand was great. It really was. But we've got a lot of energy being put into just how we're thinking about evolving our fan experience. There's just a lot of conversations going on about that, how we can energize our fan base. There's the product on the field, which Derek and Thad and his team is focused on. But then what else can we energize our fan base around, both at the ballpark and outside of the ballpark? So, I think being a part of that, and I've been a part of that in different aspects of my career here, and I hope to continue to be a part of those conversations moving forward.
We're talking with Joe Pohlad, the executive chair of the Twins, kind of the chief ownership, day-to-day representative inside the Twins organization. Joe, you talk about that fan experience. Why do you think attendance was so low last year? You had a competitive product on the team, at least for most of the season. It was a very exciting team and then sort of fell off at the end. But why do you think attendance was so low? Worst year in Target Field history, right?
Yeah, I think it was probably a number of factors. One, it's probably the rebound of COVID. Some of the aspects going on with the city, which I think we collectively here at the Twins feel like the city's coming back to life, and it will continue to over the coming months. But then, as it relates to our team, we couldn't really ever it was always two steps forward or one step forward, two steps back, especially on an injury front. Yeah. And our team never really had that identity to it. We had a number of star players with Correa and Buxton, but we couldn't really get that momentum that we needed to have that identity and get the fans back to the field. I'm confident that will happen here moving forward.
Joe Pohlad with us, talking about the Twins, talking about his leadership. With the last name Pohlad, you have known this all your life. You're in the public eye. Fans, of course, want to win. Your family, the wealthiest owners in baseball. Many fans believe that the Pohlads are cheap. The Pohlad pocket protector. You've heard all of this. You've heard all of this a million times. What do you say?
And I'm trying to stay away from the comments, and you're just throwing them in my face here.
Well, what do you say to that? Because I look at Correa and say, here's a team that's willing to spend, willing to go out there and try to win. Here's ownership willing to spend. But what do you say when you hear that stuff?
I think from a fan standpoint, they want to win, right? And they want us, and in this case, my family and me now, I guess, to do more and more. And I can understand that from a fan standpoint. I think, for organizationally and from an ownership standpoint, we need to make smart decisions. And we're trying to look at it both short-term and long-term. And from a fan standpoint, it's really hard to see beyond just this year. I'm not trying to speak for all the fans right now.
Right.
But we're trying to make the best decisions that we can for both this year and for the future. And we're not trying to, we don't want to make a decision that's going to benefit us in the short term, but harm us down the road. And so that's kind of how we're thinking about it. So, but I can understand from a fan that just wants to win right now why that might why that might not be enough if we're making a decision that they're not happy with in the short term.
Does it bug you when people say that sort of stuff? I mean, it is your family. It's hard to separate like the personal side of it, you know?
You know, I've grown up with it. Just kind of the being in the public eye, so to speak, my whole life, some of the negative publicity. And so you just kind of become immune to it. And, you know, that may not be a good thing, but it just, it doesn't affect me the same way that, you know, people may think it does. And so it's certainly not a great thing when you right. hear and feel that negative press, but.
Well, you should read you should read my Twitter replies. Like, I can relate to this, Joe. You do kind of get a thick skin about it. Every once in a while, somebody gets under somebody breaks through the veneer, but you do have to sort of build that up, you know?
Yeah, you got to put your head down and just kind of do what you think is best and do what the smart people around you, in this case, the organization that you collectively think is the right thing to do.
Do you have kind of an inner circle? You know, that I think I talk about this with my friends a lot, that as you get to that 40-year-old point, you start to narrow the friend circle to the people who will call you out on your BS, you know?
Like,
I have a couple guys in my inner, a couple women too, who will tell me, like, come on, Jason. Like, no. Do you have that?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny you say that. I was talking with a friend from school the other day, and he said, I see somebody three times a year. I said, oh, so he's your best friend then. Yeah, from a inner circle standpoint, yeah, I've got a group of friends from high school that I see regularly. And then and they keep me honest from a friend standpoint. I'm really close with my family and my brothers and my dad. And then from a work standpoint, you know, we've got some incredible people that work at the Twins. And I know, you know, to our earlier conversation, people will say what they say about Derek. Derek's an incredible employee to have at the organization. And he is a part of that inner circle. Dave's a part of that inner circle. And then we've got a few other people that, you know, I trust implicitly here. So, yeah, I feel like I have people that will tell me when I'm doing something that I shouldn't be and that can support me when I need that. So,
Joe Pohlad, taking over day-to-day ownership responsibilities with the Minnesota Twins, talking with us on Drive Time with DeRussia. You and your family, you guys live in Minneapolis? You're in the city?
Yeah.
All right. Yep. So you've got three sons, right? How old are your kids?
They are 11. 7 and 6, three boys.
Now, are they? So look, I will say one of my biggest failures as a father has been trying to get my kids to be hardcore baseball fans. And they tell me I sort of screwed this up when I brought them to the Metrodome and was trying to get them to keep score with the score sheet, that maybe I ruined it for them. I liked keeping score as a kid. Like, that's how I like following a baseball game. Are your kids fans, or did you fail with one of your kids?
No, I think my version of that is my oldest son is a hardcore baseball fan, and I think my other two, the 7 and 6 year old, are a little younger.
Yeah.
And so they're not as into it yet. But you know, the first time you bring them into a press box, everybody makes that mistake where they stand up and cheer and then they just kind of get yelled at, right?
Yes.
So I grew up learning about baseball sitting in a press box, and so I don't ever cheer. And so it's one of those things. And so now Sam, my oldest, never sees me cheer, and my kids never see me cheer. And so I sometimes have to force myself to cheer for them.
Yeah.
And it's not because I'm not a fan. It's just because that's just, you
that's
know,
how it was.
Baseball,
yes.
You just, that's
right.
what you do.
Right.
So
you don't want to look like a rube up there in the press box.
Yeah.
You're supposed to
exactly.
be quiet.
That's my version of your keeping score.
Exactly. Yeah. The kids are like, what is this? What is this? Now they're good. It just took a little while. I got a 17 and a 15 year old, and I want those kids to experience a playoff win at Target Field. I'm sure you want the same for your kids.
Absolutely. And I assure you and all other fans that that's something that is a constant conversation here. We understand the past, our history, and the 18, you know, consecutive losses. And that is a driving force for our organization that we need to return, not only return to the playoffs, but win in the playoffs. And we are committed to that. And I assure all of those, whatever you call them, pocket protectors, that I am committed to getting over that hurdle, as are others here.
Joe Polad, before I let you go, I need to know your family, you and your family's top three restaurants. What are your favorite restaurants in Minneapolis?
Well, number one is Kaluna. My wife and I have been going there often.
So great. So great.
So, and then we go to St. Genevieve quite a bit.
Nice.
And if for all those out west, Grocer's Table is a great place as well.
Wow. A little family connection there. Another Polad. Another Polad, the next generation, who is doing amazing things. If you can do half as well as is happening out there at Grocer's Table, I think you'll be fine.
Yeah, I hear you're a fan of the cookie.
I do.
The chocolate chip cookie.
The cookie is good. The cookie is good. This interview might have been softer if you had sent over a cookie. I'm just saying.
Joe, well, next time you have me on, I'll deliver some, all right?
All right, let's do that. This was terrific. Nice to talk to you, Joe Polad.
Nice to you,
We're all cheering for you, man. We're all cheering for you.
Appreciate
Congratulations.
It.
All right, 351. We'll come right back after a quick break here on CCO. Sunbelt Business Advisors bringing us Paul. Paul, I went a little long with Joe Polad. I'm sorry, but we only have a little bit of time for the weather forecast.
This is revenge, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
This is payback for all those times I went way too long. All right. It all evens out in the wash. Short and sweet, colder than average into next week, Jason. Maybe an inch of snow tomorrow night. A very chilly Saturday. Mid-teens for highs. Next week, just a nuisance snow, a little powder on Monday. Could be a few inches next Wednesday. Yeah. Maybe enough to plow. We'll keep you up to date.
Thanks, Paul.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.